You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. On Monday, a group of Amazon workers at the company's Seattle headquarters announced they would be walking off the job. In messages and emails sent to fellow employees, the group said they would be walking out on May 31st, 1 week after the company's annual shareholders meeting. Here to get into why is KUOW labor and economy reporter Monica Nicholsberg. Hi, Monica. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Libby.
So let's get right into it. Why are Amazon employees planning to walk out?
So there's two groups of employee activists that are behind this. One is more established. It's called Amazon Employees for Climate Justice. And another is newer. It's called Remote Advocacy, which sprang up when Amazon announced that it's going to be calling workers back to the office 3 days a week. So the two groups have sort of joined forces to air their grievances together during this walkout. Those grievances include frustration over the return to office policy, like I said, and the thousands of layoffs that have been coming every few weeks, it seems like, from Amazon, plus this ongoing concern that Amazon is more talk than action on its climate change goals.
I wanted to drill in really quick. We're going to talk about the climate issue in a little bit, but the remote work question, you know, struck me initially as a little superficial, like, oh, boo-hoo, a lot of folks have to show up to work every day. But as I'm reading more, it really seems like the remote work setup that a lot of people, you know, got used to during the pandemic meant that people moved, that they, you know, bought houses in more affordable areas. And suddenly having your company say you've got to be in 3 days a week, that's really disruptive to a lot of people, right?
That's right. And, you know, I've reported on this a lot, and I think that there are two ways to look at it. Like you said, you know, there's the sort of like, must be hard. I feel so bad for these corporate workers who have to sometimes go into their office when all of these folks in lower paying jobs never had the chance to work from home. But as I'm talking to people more and more, I've also sort of started to look at this as an equity issue, because flexibility is oftentimes the reason someone can or can't do a job. That includes parents of young children, but it also includes people with mental illnesses that make it hard to be around other folks. There's just a long list of reasons why somebody might be really competent and smart, but not able to do a job in the traditional structure that we've grown accustomed to. So I think that now that we've proven that many employees can be effective at home, there is this real frustration around, like, what's the reason for this? What is the data that shows that I have to be in the office to do my job?
Yeah. And it feels arbitrary to some people and maybe exclusionary to others. Monica, do we know if this is definitely happening? I mean, so messages have been sent out, but will people actually get up out of their chairs and walk off the job?
We do not know. And actually, the groups behind this event have said they're only going to hold it if they get 1,000 people to commit. So it could, this conversation could be a moot point, but the underlying concerns are not. Those have been ongoing and they're not going to go away whether or not this event happens.
Do we know how many? I mean, you're saying that they're looking for 1,000 employees. Could there be a real impact on Amazon's ability to, say, fulfill orders or to run day-to-day business if enough employees actually walk off?
Well, the groups haven't responded to my questions about how many people have committed yet. So it's really unclear how many people will participate in the walkout if it happens. But I don't think that customers should worry about this having an impact on their experience of Amazon. It's really just an 1 hour walkout during the lunch hour. So I think it's more about getting people to talk about these things than anything else.
Yeah, this is a lot of symbolism and kind of making a point. Monica, there's been a lot of layoffs in the tech industry in recent months. According to the AP, Amazon has cut 27,000 jobs so far this year. Where have those cuts been felt most? Is it tech workers in Seattle, warehouse employees? Where are they seeing these losses?
So the layoffs only affect corporate workers. Amazon isn't saying what the geographic breakdown of that is. You know, obviously they've got corporate offices all over the world, but I think it's safe to say that there is an outsized impact here in their main headquarters, Seattle, where they have a huge headcount. During the pandemic, they doubled their headcount. And now we're seeing this contraction due to economic forces, but also I think just kind of shifting company priorities. And that's something that I think when you talk to people in the tech industry here in Seattle, you can really feel.
Mm. So when workers decide to act together, like a walkout like has been proposed here, you start to think about labor organizing. It's been more than a year since that Staten Island Amazon warehouse formed a union. Where do unionization efforts stand right now within Amazon?
The labor movement at Amazon is sputtering, I think is probably a fair way to characterize it. There was this successful election in Staten Island, but they're having a lot of organizational challenges, different visions on where to go next, and they have not been able to negotiate a contract with Amazon since forming more than a year ago. There's this ongoing dispute over the other really big high-profile warehouse election in Bessemer, Alabama. Amazon has come out on top of two elections there, but there are lots of accusations with the labor board about unfair practices and union busting that make it a result that the union itself says you can't really trust. So that's still being played out. There have been some other sort of sporadic moments. There was an Amazon Fresh grocery store here in Seattle where workers kind of informally banded together to say they were a union. And I know the Teamsters have organized some delivery drivers in California, though they're technically employed by a third-party contractor. So you can see that there are sort of these like little sparks that come up, but they're snuffed out pretty quickly. It's just such a huge undertaking trying to get a union, let alone a contract at Amazon.
Yeah. You mentioned these accusations about unfair practices at Bessemer, Alabama. Federal regulators have been looking at Amazon's treatment of union organizers, right, Monica? What's the latest?
Yeah. So on Monday, the labor board said that Amazon did behave illegally at the Staten Island warehouse by telling employees that they weren't allowed to be on premises at certain times. Hmm. So that's a small victory for union organizers. But something that I always just like to stress here is how toothless these rulings are. The labor board can and does say over and over and over again, this company broke the law, but they're not able to fine companies to levy penalties. So a lot of these organizations have just made the bet that it makes a lot more sense to try to snuff out union activity than worry about the worst case scenario, which might be being forced to reinstate a worker who was fired and pay them back wages.
Mm-hmm. So it's really like a finger wag.
It is. Yeah.
So let's get back to this walkout that's been proposed by the Seattle workers. Amazon employees who were sending messages noted that they had concerns about Amazon's climate commitments. And this, of course, is a company, Monica, that they bought the naming rights for Key Arena and changed it to Climate Pledge Arena to really proclaim Amazon's goals to reach this net zero carbon emission standard by 2040. What are the employees' specific concerns, though, over Amazon's climate practices?
Yeah, so this is a tricky one because there are a number of pretty innovative things that Amazon is doing. I think Key Arena, now Climate Pledge Arena, is the, you know, greenest sports stadium that exists. And they do lots of other stuff like channeling the heat from a data center to power and heat their Seattle headquarters. These things that are, I think, interesting and make a lot of headlines. But what this Amazon Employees for Climate Justice group says is that when it comes to actual carbon emissions, Amazon is undercounting them and that those emissions have actually risen substantially since Amazon first announced its Climate Pledge program.
I did notice that I hadn't shopped on Amazon for quite some time, and I went and ordered something recently, and they gave me an option to have fewer trips, to have a later delivery date so that all packages would come together. I hadn't seen that option before, and I found that to be somewhat of an interesting move to provide a consumer the option to be more climate friendly. I don't know, again, what impact that actually has, but you see it kind of around the edges at Amazon.
Yeah, and I try to always do that Amazon Day delivery too. You know, they have long said that ordering something online, it has fewer emissions than going to a grocery store or a retailer and buying it yourself because the packages are all being delivered in one vehicle versus you driving yourself. There are a lot of different conditions that need to be true for that equation to balance out. But one thing I am interested in, now that you've raised the question, is this idea of shifting the responsibility onto consumers.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of similar to what we saw decades ago with the plastics industry investing really heavily in recycling programs and recycling messaging because it wasn't about the makers of the product. It was about the consumers of it. And
yeah, instead of reducing the bulk of your plastic that you're putting out into the economy, you're asking people to be good and recycle.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. And we should be good and recycle, right? We all have a role to play. But I think that at least the employees who are planning this walkout would say that the burden needs to be on the people who, on the organizations who have the biggest impact.
And Monica, this walkout is supposed to come 1 week after Amazon's annual shareholders meeting. What is the significance of that timeline?
Well, the shareholder meeting has always been an opportunity for investors to raise awareness of these big hot button political issues, whether that's environmental concerns, executive compensation, a range of things that they take issue with through shareholder resolutions. The timing of this to me means that employee activists are seizing on this as an opportunity to keep some of those issues in the news. So we're all going to be talking about it quite a bit around the shareholder meeting. And then usually things kind of fizzle out. Typically these resolutions are not approved. But if we continue the conversation a week later with this walkout, I think it amplifies the message.
So how's Amazon responding to all of this? Have they responded directly to the workers' concerns?
Amazon says that it respects workers' rights to have an opinion and to organize. They provided a statement to that effect. And more broadly, they just tout their environmental efforts and objectives, that they're a huge company navigating this really complicated transition back to the office 3 days a week, and that takes time, and they need a little bit of patience and flexibility while they're trying to work all that out.
Anything else that you want to add, Monica, about this proposed walkout or what you're going to be watching in the weeks and months ahead with Amazon and the workers' voices being heard and potentially more unionization efforts?
Well, I would say with the walkout and the shareholder meeting, one thing that I'm looking at in general is just what actual effect all of this public pressure is having on these big tech companies. We have been living in this era where employees and investors expect a lot more from corporations than they used to. It used to be kind of just about shareholder profits and that was it. But now increasingly, I think workers, especially younger generations of workers, want their companies to take political positions. And typically these resolutions do not get approved. But at Starbucks' annual shareholder meeting a few weeks ago, there was a resolution to investigate the company's behavior toward unions that passed. I was pretty surprised by that. And I think if something like that happens at Amazon's meeting, combined with this walkout, it'll be a sign that the company is facing increased pressure that could actually lead to some changes.
Monica Nicholsberg is KUOW's labor and economy reporter. Thank you so much, Monica, for breaking all this down for us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.